All right, everyone, welcome back to Book Club. We only have a few days left, which is really hard to imagine, hard to believe that we're almost already done with the Screwtape Letters. You know, 31 chapters, 31 videos, 31 days. It's been very fun, exciting. I'm excited to be done, to be able to move on to other projects and other things. But I have really, really enjoyed it. And again, I hope that it's been a big blessing for your life as well. Now, in chapter 29, I think we're confronted with this concept of courage. And I think that the demons here really lay out some clear insights to courage that we can really benefit from. I think one that just kind of jumps out from memory for me that I thought was really profound is that courage, or the opposite of courage, the vice of cowardice, is the only vice that is all bad, that just gives is exclusively painful, as he says. You can think of lust or pride or hate or other things that he kind of says, you know, while negative in nature, do have some type of pleasure attached to them. But he says cowardice is really miserable throughout the entire experience. He says that to be great, I thought this was really interesting too on the first page. He says, to be greatly and effectively wicked, a man needs some virtue. That I thought was also a really interesting take, to think that you need some type of virtue. And he lays out, you know, who's the one that he is it Genghis Khan here that he uses as an example? No, Attila the Hun, you know, who was known to have raped and pillaged and killed all these people. And he's like, he needed his virtue to be able to do that, right? And he uses this example of Shylock without self-denial as regards the flesh. I don't know who Shylock is, but you get these examples, right, where you have people throughout history that you do need some certain semblance of virtue, right, a lot of times, to be greatly effective if you're going to be truly wicked, if you're going to be a true, you know, instrument of the enemies, if you're going to be a true soldier of the devil, you know, you're going to need some type of virtue to be able to carry on with that, right? It takes a lot of discipline, it takes a lot of courage to be that effective in whatever you're trying to do. And so the same thing is true for evil. And so he talks about that. Now, I want to get on to that second page. This is what I referenced earlier on, is he talks about how cowardice alone of all the vices is purely painful, horrible to anticipate, horrible to feel, horrible to remember. Hatred has its pleasures, is therefore often the compensation by which a frightened man reimburses himself for the miseries of fear. And so you can think about that. He's basically talking about how they try to, if the man is experiencing cowardice, you can kind of diverge it a little bit by making him hate whoever it is that's making him afraid, whoever has brought on this moment or this experience that has called for his cowardice in a sense, right? You can convince him to hate those people. And by doing that, you get him to fall into hatred versus just being focused on cowardice and fear. Now, this goes on, I think, in the next paragraph to some really interesting points. He says, we have made men proud of most vices, but not of cowardice. Whenever we have almost succeeded in doing so, the enemy permits a war or an earthquake or some other calamity, and at once courage becomes so obviously lovely and important, even in human eyes, that all our work is undone. This, I think, was really interesting. It made me think of the classic phrase you've probably heard before, especially if you listen to me, especially if you care about masculinity at all. You've probably heard the phrase that strong men create good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times, and hard times create strong men. And it's kind of the cycle we go in and out of, right? And this is what this made me think of, is that if you have weak men create hard times, that is the result of cowardice, right? Of cowardly men who create these difficult times and lead to revolution and wars and things like that, which he goes on to talk about. But you also have the rise up there in these big moments of courageous men, of good people that act as heroes, right? That are extremely virtuous, that are extremely holy, that uphold all that is good in the world. And when you see good, you're reminded, even if you're lukewarm, that evil is bad and good is good, right? You see when things get crazy and hectic enough and you're really exposed to the rawness of beauty, truth, and goodness and the rawness of evil, it's so much clearer to see that things are what they are, right? To see things for what they are. And so this is why a lot of times you see that we go in these cycles, right? And you see these cycles kind of repeat themselves over and over throughout human history. He even talks about this. When you start to get proud of your cowardice, which you see in today's world a lot, right? Men who have kind of abdicated their responsibility as men and kind of brag about that. We see in our world today, just what I thought of when I was thinking about this is just our culture's current obsession with victims, right? This idea that I'm going to become a victim. I'm going to name myself and deem myself a victim and brag about my victim status as much as I possibly can. When you think about that, what is that other than great cowardice, right? In many ways. And so when we constantly are thinking about ourselves as a victim rather than a victor, rather than a hero, rather than somebody who can take responsibility and ownership for my own life and chart my own path and charge forward despite the objections and the difficulties and the challenges I'm going to face, what's the opposite of that? I'm just a victim. I'm just a victim of my circumstances, of all the oppressors in my life and all the things that have held me back and that continue to hold me back. And that's all I am and all I can be. And so if that's the case, then why even try? Why bother? I should just fight back and demand more and become more entitled and expect more from other people doing things for me rather than for me to provide for myself. And so we're seeing this, right? You're seeing that we're right on the brink there of something I think really tragic happening and bad happening, where we start to see, wait, being a victim isn't something to be proud of. Being a victim isn't something we should celebrate. What we should celebrate is heroes, heroic virtue. Instead, right now, what do we do? A lot of times you see statues of George Washington and other great American founders being torn down. We actually tear down our heroes now to replace them with the world's greatest victims. And so you'll see college students advocating against having Thomas Jefferson or George Washington on campus, or even just revered by the students or faculty. And they'll be holding up people like Ibram X. Kendi, Nicole Hannah Jones, and others who just deem themselves professional victims. So I think that's really interesting. And then he goes on to say he sees, talking about the enemy, talking about God, he sees as well as you do that courage is not simply one of the virtues, but it is the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the point of highest reality. A chastity or honesty or mercy which yields to danger will be chaste or honest or merciful only on conditions. Pilate was merciful until it became risky. This I think is really, really, really powerful. To understand, this is why, you know, if you think about it, if you've been following Seeking Excellence for a while, you know that I say that the three foundations of excellence are courage, ownership, and intentionality. And sometimes I think people can think, why is courage in there? Why do we need to be courageous? And I always say that the three kind of flow together. The first thing you have to do is take ownership and responsibility for your life, where you're at right now, if you're going to get anywhere forward, right? If you're going to move forward. The second thing is you have to create a plan. You have to intentionally design your life and make intentional decisions that are going to help you to advance, help you to move things forward. And then the last part there is courage. And why? Because in courage, you have what you need to actually take the steps to move forward. It's one thing to think about what you have to do. It's one thing to take responsibility, but to actually take the steps forward, you can think about this if you've ever been out of shape and want to get back into shape, or you need to lose weight, or you're dumb and you're failing your classes, right? And you need to step up and actually go to tutoring. You need to ask for help from your teachers and your classmates. Those things, like, that takes real courage to be able to do that, to be able to step up and express your needs, to recognize that you have needs, and not just needs in this kind of emotional sense, but things you need to do, right? Things you need help with, and to actually seek out answers and solutions to those problems, that takes a lot of courage. Here you see, even when it comes to virtues, that courage is what you need when every one of those virtues gets tested. So when your chastity gets tested and you're with your significant other and things are getting a little bit out of control, it's courage that allows you to step up and say something and stop what you're doing, right? It's courage that allows you, I think honesty is a great example that he gives there. To be honest is easy when it costs you nothing, right? When somebody says, oh, did you go to work today, right? It's easy to not lie about that. It doesn't cost you anything. What costs you is when you have to be honest about something that is painful or difficult, right? To be honest in the confessional, that's hard to do, but that is where your honesty is really tested. That's where you're rewarded the most for being honest, right? The greatest tests of our virtue always have the greatest rewards on the other side of them. Last thing I want to say here when it comes to courage is that last sentence he gives us. He says, for remember, the act of cowardice is all that matters. The emotion of fear is in itself no sin, and though we enjoy it, it does us no good. So they obviously enjoy seeing us miserable. They enjoy seeing us afraid. The demons love that. They love to see us unhappy and just scattered and flustered. But fear itself isn't a sin. What's sinful is our acts of cowardice. And our acts of cowardice can be labeled as any time we give in to vice when we should have chosen virtue, which is every time we're obviously given that fork in the road and forced to choose between those two things. But just think about that. What is an act of cowardice? It's every time that I fail to act virtuously. Every time I choose the devil, the flesh, or the world over God, over excellence over holiness, that's cowardice. Ultimately, that is cowardice. And that's what it means to be a coward. And we want to be courageous. We want to be holy men and women. We want to be our best. We want to get the most out of life. And so think about that. Think about how much courage you have currently in your life. Do you feel like you're a courageous person? Would you describe yourself as a courageous person? I've had periods in my life where I felt like I was very courageous and other times where I felt like I was very cowardly. And it's interesting to see just how much it really does impact our everyday life, right? Turning on this camera and sharing my thoughts on something for the first time took a lot of courage. It was kind of nerve-wracking to publish something that I had created. And now every new frontier that I approach in this journey of creating content, of, you know, doing something new in my parish, whatever it might be, right? Parenthood, all of that requires courage. That's why, I mean, doing NFP, right? And not being on birth control in marriage requires courage. Getting married requires a lot of courage. All of these things to help you to take steps to your next best self, right? To that help you to discover and fulfill more and more of your potential. That requires great courage. So let's be courageous. Go out there and get after it. I'm praying for you. I'm cheering for you. And we'll see you tomorrow.